I can just stop you there. I'm in a music shop in Weston-super-Mare in Meadow Street, and it's Rod Button's Music Emporium, a shop which is full of all sorts of instruments, predominantly though guitars and, as you can hear, banjos and mandolins. And first of all, I've got with me Mark Steed, who kind of manages the shop. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Keith. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to have you on my programme as well. Tell me a bit about the shop here, because there really is a huge variety of stringed instruments, aren't there?
Well, Keith, we try to keep a range of unusual stuff and specialise, as you said, in guitars, banjos, mandolins, whether they're electric or acoustic instruments. Just like Topsy, it kind of growed, I think. I expect it growed, and we've got the instruments here from Istanbul and far-flung corners of the world and balalaikas and most odd stuff. Of course, what you're seeing now is the retail side of the business, which is run by myself and Jared Loughlin. But a lot of the work here is in repair and building work, and of course Rod's renowned nationally as one of the probably the best guitar makers amongst the top six, I would say. And English guitars, English handmade guitars, we all tend to think about American stuff, but English stuff is really superb quality. And I would always say, anybody who is looking to buy a top quality guitar, check out the English makers. The repair work, a lot of the work is for local musicians, professional, semi-professional, in setups to their instruments, and general repair work. And, of course, that's the side of the business that you don't tend to see so much.
Yeah, I mean, I've been lucky enough to go out the back there. Well, I say lucky. let's bring Rod into the conversation. Out there, all sorts of guitars and all sorts of stages of being built and repaired and all the rest of it. When did you start building guitars, Rob?
Well, we started in 1976 originally, but the first one took 2 years to make, and since then they take 2 or 3 years to make. Yeah, we've got lots of things on the go now at the moment. We make banjos, guitars, mandolins, some to order and some off the shelf. So.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose banjos and mandolins are very much a specialised sort of market, really, aren't they?
It's not every shop you can go into that'll know what a mandolin is, even. So, yeah, there is quite a market, though, especially in the sort of bluegrass field and in the folk field, Irish music, so mandolins are one of our biggest sellers at the moment.
Building guitars, I mean, it's a very sort of labour-intensive job, really, isn't it, I guess?
Yeah, it takes about 2 weeks' work to make one guitar. Well, obviously, they're made in batches, so we couldn't make one from start to finish in that time.
No, because in your workshop, you've got lots of bodies that are in various stages of being built, and we've got necks and all sorts of other bits and pieces. So what happens if I come to you and say, I want a guitar, I want it to be this sort of size to do this sort of job? You then say, well, I've got a couple of bodies that might suit. Is that what would happen?
Yes and no. Otherwise, we can start from scratch. We've got a good supply of wood out back there, all nice and dry and well seasoned. We can make you anything that you want, really, though we do have a standard range of models as well.
What about the wood? Because that's really important, isn't it?
Yeah, we buy wood from various sources, specialist suppliers all over the world, so we can supply you with anything that you can make a guitar out of as well.
I mean, looking at your sort of store, some of the wood is in a kind of finished looking state. Some of it looks like it's just been hewn straight out of the log, really, with the bark still on it.
Well, we do start with big chunks. We saw them down, they're all planed down, sanded, and then basically you make them into a kit form that you can make instruments from.
And how much of a market is there for custom-built guitars? Because you have to say they're not cheap, are they?
They are cheap for what you get. You get what you want, really. The prices start about £1,000. You can easily spend that on a commercial instrument that isn't of very good quality.
Mm.
Anything from there up to, say, £2,500 if you want a lot of abalone inlay. We sell all we make, but we are looking to try and sell more. Now we're increasing production.
Let's bring Mark back in. Mark, you were telling me earlier that actually not only are you keen to sell more stuff, but you're also keen to buy. You're looking to buy banjos and mandolins, aren't you? Why is that?
Very keen indeed, Keith. It's difficult to get hold of, especially banjo ukuleles, and most of your listeners are going to know George Formby, and that's the instrument that he played. Now, they're not of huge value, and a lot of people often bring the scruffy old things in that they think they're antique and worth a fortune. Not necessarily true, but the odd thing is young Jared here is a superb banjo ukulele player and very good George Formby impersonator.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, we've...
he's shaking his head, he's not going to do it, is he, Mark?
He's worrying now. I was going to try. oddly enough, we've got lots of youngsters in Weston-super-Mare who we have started off on £10 ukuleles. And they're very keen, and of course their grandparents tend to encourage them. So as they move on and get in their teens, they do like to have a better quality instrument, which will be a banjo ukulele. Now, we don't mind refurbishing old banjo ukes in order to encourage these youngsters, but it's very hard to find them. And there are a lot of people who've got them in the loft, in the cupboard, under the stairs, etc. And, yes, we want to buy them. You know, we are keen. Old English banjos, being as I'm a banjo player myself, I know a bit about them and enough to actually refurbish some of the old English banjos, the five-string and four-string banjos. And there is a market for those instruments with old-time players especially.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there aren't that many people around that are refurbishing and indeed building bespoke banjos, are there?
No, there aren't. There's a notably good banjo builder who is Phil Davidson in Wick, who makes very nice custom-made banjos. Of course, they're pricey, but as Rob made the point earlier, you know, they're not pricey when you look what you get. But yes, I suppose that in the area, probably in most of the southwest, it would only be us who actually will undertake that sort of work.
Mm. And let's go down memory lane for a bit, Mark, because you were telling me before we started to record this interview that you remember playing on Radio Bristol many, many, many years ago when you were still a schoolboy.
Yes, and I'm not going to tell you how many years ago that is.
All right,
Keith.
I won't tell you that.
But yes, Stuart Amesbury, his wife, Sherry, myself, well, it wasn't his wife then. We were at sixth form at Ashton Park School. We used to leave school on a Tuesday and a Thursday, rush up to Radio Bristol, play on the John Wormsley show, and play an acoustic folk set. And that was Paul Cook as well, but Paul won't be able to hear this broadcast. He's up in Leicester at the moment. And I still am in regular touch with Stuart and Sherilyn, who are well-known local musicians on the Bristol scene. Of course, the other one was John Turner. When I was a teenager, regularly going to the Troubadour Club and hearing wonderful people like Al Stewart, even Al Jones, Diz Disley, players like that, and that's what fostered my interest in guitar playing in those days.
And how long have you been playing the banjo for?
I don't even know if I play it properly now, Keith. It must be the best part of 30 years, yeah. Anyway.
What is it about the banjo that you like in particular?
Do you know, that's hard to say, but there's something about the tone of a five-string banjo that reaches a place in the back of your brain, I think. The thing with banjo playing, I would say, is that it becomes quite obsessive. The skill levels required to play well, and I'm certainly not in that league myself, but are quite phenomenal. And if you ever hear a player of, say, the standard of John Button from Taunton, no relation, by the way, or Leon Hunt from Bath, you'll hear masterful musicianship and quite unbelievably clever playing. And it's the obsessive. I remember Phil actually had been working on Leon's banjo, and he said he opened the back up and there were beans in it. Now, that guy must have been playing, I hope you'll forgive me for this, Leon, while he was eating his breakfast. So that is dedication.
just before we go, just show me a couple of little things on the banjo, a couple of little sort of banjo, typically banjo flourishes, if you like.
Well, you tend the backup playing, so when the fiddle or the mandolin takes a break, you tend to play backup playing, which would be just damped block chords. During other backup, you'll be playing basic rolls, something like this maybe. When you take your lead, you'll probably play a tune, a part of a tune, such as Devil's Dream here. Etc. And then you have little flourishes, which may be runs, which would go something like this. And there's just something so pleasant. There are so many ways you can play a banjo, and of course there's old-time playing, and there's old-time frailing playing, which is something I'd love to be able to do but haven't mastered yet. And it's just a bit of an obsessive instrument.
It's Mark Steed, and earlier Rod Button of Rod Button's Music Centre. You can find that shop
in Meadow Street in Western Supermare, 78 to 80 Meadow Street, Western Supermare. And don't forget, they're looking to buy as well as sell. It's 9 minutes away from 7 o'clock.
BBC Radio Bristol and BBC Somerset Sound.